Well, again, good morning. And the funny thing is that I have this book that I write down sermon notes in. Not sermon notes from when I attend church, but sermon notes for when I preach. And the funny thing is that the last time that I put sermon notes in here was the last time that I was here. So I don't preach much. And the fact that that Pastor Dave asked me to come back and preach again this summer is astounding to me, but that actually gives me a little bit of a vote of confidence to say that, hey, you did all right last time. I'll let you come back and do it again. Just don't mess up this time. No, he didn't say that. Okay, I'm going to open up to Romans. Romans 5, 1 to 8. And I'm going to read that. If you'd like to follow along. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And this hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to, before I get into the preaching part, well, I guess it's no secret that I am a singer and a songwriter, and I have a song that fits in a little bit with the last verse in that passage, and I would love to share that for you. Last year when I was here, I surprised myself by just doing worship and not singing any songs in between, which I guess I'm not doing that this time because it's kind of what I do. There we go. Okay, now we're here. This is a song that I released last year, and it's a song that basically takes the idea of the grace of God, and it basically is just a worship song. So I'll share it with you. We come before you once again, bruised and beat on, frail, we faint beneath the weight of everything we've done wrong, but your power has made a where it's proof. We're at our weakest, Lord, you are strong. Your grace is sufficient for us. Your all-consuming love fills us with more than enough. Your grace overthrowing a shame. By the sound of your name, your mercy flows from your heart for us. We come before you on our knees, broken, humbled, knowing fully what it means for a death to come. But life begins when we declare this truth, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Your grace is sufficient for us. Your all-consuming love fills us with more than enough. Your grace overthrowing a shame. By the sound of your name, your mercy flows from your heart for us. Oh God, your mercy. Oh, I love your grace, oh Lord.
and it flows from your heart. The depth of our affliction cannot at all come close to reach your affection. Grace is sufficient. The depth of our affliction cannot at all come close to the reach of your affection. Your grace is sufficient for us. Your grace is sufficient for us. Your all-consuming love fills us with more than enough. Your grace overthrowing a shame by the sound of your name. Your mercy flows from your heart for us. Your mercy flows from your heart for us. Your mercy flows from your heart for us.
Amen. God's mercy flows for us, not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us out of his love for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So I'm going to go back to Romans 5 just for a moment, and I'm going to read again verses 3 and 4, because that's what God called me to talk about today. And it's interesting because I am not a preacher. And I will say that flat out, I am not a preacher. I know that there are preachers and there are teachers and there are evangelicals or evangelists. I would probably be more on the evangelist side because, well, that's what I was raised with. My dad is a preacher. Well, he's an evangelist, we'll say that. So he loves to talk. He doesn't necessarily do the sermon thing because he doesn't write notes. He just goes. And I don't understand how he can do that, but he is like a pure evangelist. He can just talk about God for hours, and every bit of it is intelligent. And I don't understand because I'm not an intellectual. I'm a singer. Not to say that singers can't be intellectuals. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm definitely more artistic than I am studious. So we'll say that. But I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 again. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So I'm going to touch on that for a little bit, but I mentioned my dad. And like I said, my dad is very intelligent. So when God gave me the idea to start speaking about this today, I thought to myself, okay, well, I could start pulling things out that I think are intelligent to talk about, or I can just go ask my dad. And so conveniently, my dad lives right next door to us. So I just walked over, and yes, I know, much to the chagrin of my wife, he does live right next door to us. My parents do. If you've ever watched Everybody Loves Raymond, a show from the 90s, Ray and his wife Deborah and their three kids live right across the street from his parents. And so we've watched that show many times together, and she sits there every single time. My wife Sam sits there and says, "This is my life. You know, I am Deborah Barone, and my parents live right across the street, and that's just my life now." And so I went over to my parents' place, and I sat down with my dad, and I said, "This is the passage that God gave me to talk about. What can I do with this?" And so I had the idea as I was sitting with him, because my dad is very into reading what he's called, it's called the One Man's Jewish Study Bible. So it basically has the Hebrew right there, and it breaks down things. So it's basically another translation, but a lot of it deals very, very, it coincides a lot with the Hebrew. So I thought, if I can get him to give me some insight as to what these words mean, or maybe a different translation, that might be better. So what I was doing, because there's these four words, there's suffering, perseverance, character, and hope. So I thought to myself, why don't we look at a couple different translations to see what different definitions, and I know I could have done this with a thesaurus, but why don't we just go through to the Bible, to what people who are learned and have translated this in prayer and seeking God. And so in the NIV, it says suffering. In the King James, that same word is translated as tribulation. Okay, so if you're talking about suffering and tribulation, they kind of are kind of different things in my mind. And then in the Jewish Study Bible, the word is troubles. And troubles almost seems to me like it's a little bit more relatable, because suffering seems like, you know, pain, and tribulation seems like the end of the world kind of thing. So troubles almost to me seemed like something that I could relate to. The next word is perseverance. And perseverance in the NIV, and in the King James, it's patience, which actually I kind of like that. But then in the Jewish Study Bible, which again, I like this one too, is endurance. You know, I watch my kids, and I don't know where they get it from, because it's not from me, but they are both very athletic. They did not get it from me. but they can run, and they can play, and they can do all these things and not get tired. And I'm sure that that's just a kid thing, but I don't understand, because this does not run. So they can run, and they can go, and they have endurance, so they can keep pushing through, even though it could be very taxing on them. So the next word is character. And character is also the same from the NIV to the Jewish Study, but in King James, and I actually like this one, is experience. Because character, we don't really think about that in the way that that the King James says it, an experience. And I like that, because as you go through life, as you get older, you experience more things. And experience is wisdom and knowledge. And it's not so much character, because if you say that your character is wisdom and knowledge, you kind of fool yourself, right? So experience, I kind of like that. And the last word is hope. And in the NIV, it is hope. In the King James, it is hope. In the Jewish Study Bible, it is hope. So what I like about that is that hope is hope, no matter how you look at it. And hope is something that God fills us with. He fills us with the hope that we can be with him one day. Fills us with the hope that he will take care of us. And I love that. I have a question. Is anybody has been or is doing road construction as their career? Anyone? Okay, good. Now let's talk about what are the problems that we feel with road construction. This is not rhetorical. Anybody? Yeah. Like they take you on, you have to do a detour, or you have to slow down, that sort of thing. Anything else? It takes forever. It does take forever. It lasts so long. We live outside of the city, and so coming in through Headingley, they're doing more construction there. It was the last 2 years that they were doing construction there on the road itself, and now they're doing something else in between where the way station is going to be. Are they ever going to open that up? I don't know, but it drives me crazy because I don't know what they're doing. And then there's one other thing that I was thinking, and that it costs taxpayer money to do all this, right? So there's a lot of things that we could talk about, a lot of annoyances from road construction, but it is necessary, and it takes steps to get to that. And has anybody ever driven on a brand new road? Once you've gotten through that 5 years of construction, and you can finally take your route to work, or take your route to school, or take your route to your parents' house, or wherever you're going, you can finally take that route, and it's smooth, and it's nice, and you don't have any worries because you're on a nice, fresh, you know, painted lines and everything. And it's wonderful. It's great. I love it. But it takes steps to get to that point. Now, it's good that nobody has done road construction, because I may be completely off when I talk about this. But from what I read, there are 4 steps to road construction. Okay, so when you're putting together the road, the first step is called the subgrade. And the subgrade serves as the foundation and is made of compact dirt. The second is the subbase, which can be made of sometimes recycled materials or big rocks. The third is the base course, usually made up of crushed rock or gravel, and it provides density, depth, and support for the fourth layer. And the fourth layer is the surface course, and that's the pavement. It's what we see when the job is complete. And there's nothing like that fresh pavement. There's nothing like driving on a new road. Now, our kids are teenagers now. Noah's 15. But when he was growing up, his absolutely favorite movie of all time, and still is the Disney movie Cars. He loves Cars. And he always has, and I think he always will. And so we watched that movie on repeat for years. And so he knows it by heart. I actually played a game with him. I played music from the soundtrack, and he could tell me what part of the movie it's from. And I'd play a line, and I'd stop it, and I'd say, what's the rest of the line? And he'd be able to tell me. And I did the same game with my daughter, Mayelle, and she could do part of it too, because she was forced to watch it over and over and over. I guess that's the joy of being a younger sibling, is that you have to do what your big brother does, because otherwise you'll be left by yourself. So I love in Cars, the whole idea is that Lightning McQueen goes into this town and he has to fix the road because he messes it up. And so the first time he fixes it, he does it really poor job. So it's all bumpy, and Mater goes on there and he's like, hey, and he's driving on there, and it's not good. And so then McQueen actually takes the time, gets it done, and once they get on there, everybody in town is driving on this road, and they're like, oh, this is so nice, and they're so happy, which is good, because driving on a new road is spectacular. And I guess you could say that driving on a new road does not disappoint us. And you may be wondering, okay, we're not in contractor school here. We're not learning how to build a road for any other reason. We're not going to go out and build a road, but what's the point? And we're going to go back to 3 and 4 again, because that's what we're talking about. And I want to try as best as I can to tie this in. And so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So there are four things that we're talking about, four things that are up on the screen here, and I would like to try as best as I can, if you'll permit me, to tie these together. Again, I was sitting with my dad, and we were talking just about the different translations, and I was sitting there and trying to gain some knowledge so that I could have something semi-intelligent to talk to you about today. And as I'm sitting there with my dad, my mom comes and she sits down and she starts talking about the neighbors. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm trying to focus, Mom. I love you. I know you want to talk, but I'm trying to focus on this. And so actually what's happening with our next door neighbors on the other side is they're building their driveway at that time. And so she starts talking about their driveway and how it's just going in, and they're very excited about that. And so, of course, God, like lightning, was just like, there it is right there. That's what you're talking about. So building the driveway, building the road. And so I didn't expect that was going to happen, but that's what happened when I was sitting there with my dad, and my mom came and started to talk. So the first thing that I mentioned, the first word up there is suffering. And the first thing that you try to do with the road is the subgrade, the foundation, the starting place. It's made of dirt. And sometimes you have to go through the dirt to get where you're going. I know that's stretching a little bit, but it'll all come together. So you go through the dirt, you go through the muck, you go through the mire. Sometimes you have to go through those things in life, because that's what happens in life. In the book of James 1, 2, and 3, it says to consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Now, it never once says in there, if you face trials of many kinds. It says, when you face trials of many kinds. In life, you're going to have troubles. But we're supposed to consider it pure joy, because the testing of our faith develops what? Perseverance. So we have to go through those things in our life to develop perseverance. You can't just get perseverance. It doesn't happen. It's something that you have to build up. It's something that you have to create for God to create in you. And so the next one, perseverance, the next thing that I was talking about for the road is the sub base. I said that the sub-base can be made up of big rocks. Okay, big, hard stones that are strong and don't crack under pressure when the weight of the world comes on you. So now that second layer takes a lot of weight from cars, trucks, semis driving on top of it, and big rocks are there to be strong. And when we persevere through something, we have to be strong. We have to be strong and not crack under the pressure. And because perseverance builds character. And the third base was called the base course, which is made of gravel. Now, what is character? I remember learning in grade 6 the difference between character and characteristics. Characteristics, of course, are David has spiky hair. David is short. David has a belly. Those are characteristics. But my character is something completely different. The character is what makes me me. It's who you are. It's what defines you. It makes you you. The base course creates density and depth. That's what I said, is it creates density and depth. So every small piece of gravel, every small part of your character provides support for the, one of the character traits that God has embedded in us and continues to build in us, and that is the hope. Now, I wish that I had given you a picture because it shows so much better how each layer goes together on the road. And then it also shows how each layer goes towards our hope and building our hope. And that's why each one of these things in the book that Paul was writing, each one of these things leads to the other. And so our hope, it's what's called the surface course, and that's what the pavement is. One definition says that the surface course needs to be durable enough to withstand abrasions and weather. And so too does our hope. Because storms will come. And if we allow our trials to strengthen us, it will build our character. Now, don't get me wrong, because I'm laying this out as if it's very easy. Because it's not always easy. In the midst of our suffering, most of us can admit that our first thoughts in the midst of suffering are, oh goody, troubles, trials, and tribulations. I'm so happy about that. I love going through these things. I love to build my character. I will be 100% honest and say that my human nature does not count it pure joy when I go through trials of many kinds. It does not do that. We have an enemy that whispers in our ear every time we come into these trials, every time we want to build our character and we want to have that hope, we have an enemy that's whispering into our ear. And you say, he says, see that valley? That's way too low for you to go through. You see that mountain? It's way too far off in the distance. There's no way that you're going to get that. You see this water in front of you that you're supposed to cross? No. It's way too deep. There's no way. There's no way that you're going to be able to cross that. It's way too deep. So just don't bother. Don't bother trying. Just give up. It's fine. So I know that there's sometimes that he can actually be pretty convincing. To show us these things and say, oh no, you'll never be able to do that. And unfortunately, it does happen sometimes where we say, you know what, I can't. But it's in the midst of those times, struggling, that God has given us the strength to not give up. He's given us the strength to not let go. And when we cry out to God, in those times, he renews our strength. He gives us the ability to go through and persevere in these times. And talking about how suffering leads to perseverance, leads to character, leads to hope. And then verse 5, hope does not disappoint us. And just like when you set your wheels on that new road and you're driving and everything is just so nice, it doesn't disappoint you. And in that same way, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Folks, we're not alone. When we go through these troubles, when we go through all of these different trials, we are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. We have been given the Bible that we can go to and refer to when we get into these troubles. And we have the resources to be able to get through these storms, to push through in the midst of this adversity that we face, because, like I said, it's not if, it's when. Because troubles will come. And it doesn't matter which trouble it is. It could be financial trouble, it could be health trouble, it could be family trouble, it could be friend trouble, it could be work trouble, it could be school trouble, it could be any kind of trouble. But we have the Holy Spirit to lead us. We have God to guide us and help us through those storms. I'm going to switch over here. Turn that off and turn this one back on. Because I have a song that actually I just wrote not too long ago. And I'm in the midst of recording. It's almost finished. The only people that know this song even exists are my wife, Sam, my daughter, and the guy that recorded it. And so I want to share it with you just because I feel as though it ties in so well with the sermon that God gave me this morning. Just in the midst of all those troubles, in the midst of all those lies that the enemy tries to tell us that we can't do it, that in the midst of those, we can cry out to God and we can praise him in all of those circumstances. So it will make it easier to follow along with the words. They'll be up there for you so you can follow along and read them as I sing them. But I hope that these words, the words that God gave to me, I hope that these words will be an encouragement to you as we leave here today.
Sometimes it seems like the water's too deep, the heart rushing river's too wide, when fear tells me don't even try. Sometimes it looks like the valley's too low, the far distant mountain's too high, then should I be scared of the climb? No, I won't give up, I will not back down. No, I won't let go. You have shown me how. I will praise, I will praise. You bring back life from death when all I deserve is the grave. I will praise. Sometimes I feel I am crippled by doubt, the worries they clog up my mind, truth in my heart starts to rise, it's beginning to rise, because I know I've buried your word deep inside. And I'm refusing to hide, 'cause the fear, the shame, the sin, the pain, this is what my God is greater than. I will praise, I will praise. You bring back life from death when all I deserve is the grave. From the depths of my soul I proclaim, I will praise. And no, I won't give up, I will not back down. No, I won't let go. The chains are breaking now. No, I won't give up. I will not back down. No, I won't let go. I'll stop the rocks from crying out. I will praise. I will praise. You bring back life and death when all I deserve is the grave. From the depths of my soul I proclaim, my soul will proclaim like the roar of the waves. My heart calls out the name, I will praise.
I want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come back and to share with you again this year. Thank you to Pastor Dave for trusting me to come and share what God has laid on my heart. I love God with all my heart, and I love to sing about Him, and I love to talk about Him, and so I'm just so thankful that you've allowed me to come in and to share. And just to encourage you that, yes, troubles will come. They will. But we have hope. We have hope that God is going to be there because He has sent His Holy Spirit to help us through those troubles. And on the other side, we will have a greater strength, greater perseverance, greater strength of character, and a much greater hope. God, we thank you so much for this morning. We praise you, and we pray that you would strengthen every single one of us as we go out and we live our lives this week, that when those troubles come, God, that you would help us to push through. We thank you that you sent your Spirit to lead us and to guide us in these situations. We thank you that we can build that perseverance and we can be stronger, that we can have a stronger character, that we can love you more, and we can believe and hope in you, in the salvation that you've given to us through your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.